Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday, May 12th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. And we are going to start right in. I'm going to start by opening a work session on House Bill 2974. Erin, would you remind us where we are in this bill?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2974, originally heard on April 30th, requires Legislative Assembly or Secretary of State to hold public hearings throughout state prior to adopting congressional or legislative reapportionment plan. We have a dash A4 amendment. The dash A4 amendment removes the Secretary of State only from the requirement for the 10 pre-planned public hearings, and adds requirement that of at least 10 public hearings prior to proposing a legislative or congressional redistricting plan, one hearing is held in each of the congressional districts, and to the extent practicable, one hearing is held in each of the congressional districts after the plan is proposed. We have a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact on the dash A4 amendment.
Okay, thank you, Erin. And Representative Leininger has joined us, and these amendments, which I think you're about to talk about, came out of our previous hearing, so why don't you just go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I'm Ann Leininger from House District 38. I just wanted to thank you for some really great teamwork and feedback, and again, thank Ms. Seiler for helping develop amendments that I hope address the questions and issues raised last time before the committee.
Okay, well, that was short and sweet. So any questions for Representative Leininger? No? Okay, I think we have what we need from you.
Is there any more testimony, Madam?
And I don't, we're in a work session, so I don't think we do.
Madam Chair, I move the A4 amendment stated 511-15 into 2974.
Senator Boquist has moved the dash A4 amendment to House Bill 2974. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Okay. Amendment carries.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2974 as amended with the A4 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Boquist has moved House Bill 2974 as amended by the dash A4 amendment to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion?
No.
Okay, motion carries. The bill heads to the floor. And
there's no Senate sponsor.
So. But there is no Senate sponsor on this.
Yes,
Senator Boquist, you have done a lot of work on this. Would you like to carry it? You would.
Oh, I'd be delighted, Madam
Thank
Chair.
Thank you for volunteering with that. And Senator Boquist will be our carrier, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 2974. And next, I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 525A. And I see we have Senator Manus Anderson. Erin, why don't you tell us about this while she's coming forward?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 525A prohibits possession of firearm or ammunition if person is subject of restraining order continued after opportunity for hearing, or if person has been convicted of qualifying misdemeanor involving domestic violence, establishes that prohibition does not apply if offense is expunged, allows for relief from prohibition under court petition. You have a dash A4 amendment. The A4 amendment prohibits possession of firearm or ammunition if person is subject of court order that was issued or continued after hearing for which person had actual notice and during the course of which the person had opportunity to be heard, restrains person from stalking, intimidating, molesting, or menacing intimate partner, child of intimate partner, or child of person, and includes finding that person represents credible threat to physical safety of intimate partner, child of intimate partner, or child of person, or person has been convicted of qualifying misdemeanor, and at time of offense, person was a family member of victim of offense, defines family member with respect to victim as victim's spouse, victim's former spouse, person with whom victim shares child in common, victim's parents or guardian, person cohabitating with or who has cohabitated with victim's spouse, parent, guardian, or person similarly situated, and defines intimate partner with respect to person, person's spouse, person's former spouse, person, parent of person's child, or other person who's cohabitated, and qualifying misdemeanor means misdemeanor that has an element of offense, use, or attempted use of force, a physical force, or threatened use of deadly weapon. You have a no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact on the A4.
Okay, and I see we've been joined by Senator Manus Anderson. Welcome to Senate Rules.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Lori Manus Anderson. I represent Gresham, Troutdale, Wood Village, Fairview, and a little bit of East Portland.
thank you so much for hearing Senate Bill 525. It does make it illegal to possess a firearm or ammunition in certain conditions, and I'm not going to give you all the conditions because she just, the administrator just stated that. But you also have the Dash 4 amendments that basically take the federal law and codify it into Oregon statutes. And I want to thank the Republican office, in particular Steve Elzinaga, and the president's office, in particular Anna Brown, who did a lot of work together to craft the Dash 4 amendments. And I also want to thank Sybil Hebb, that helps me understand the attorney jargon because I'm a nurse. In 2014, 42 Oregonians died as a result of domestic violence, and 60% of them were deaths by firearms. And federal law prohibits the possession of firearms by domestic violence offenders. But because this law is not codified in Oregon law, our system cannot enforce the law, and victims do not have protections. The Dash 4 will mirror the federal law. We had a great hearing, and I know you're not going to have the greatest hearing as we had on March 25th, but I wish you could have been there to hear some compelling testimony from the victim advocates and the children advocates, law enforcement, district attorneys from five different counties, Lincoln, Benton, Multnomah, Malheur, and Marion. We also heard from the attorney general, from judges, the circuit judge and probate courts, and city councilors, the medical community, a physician, and a psychologist. So that's what I wanted to basically tell you. This legislation is clearly needed in Oregon. It will save lives. This one will save lives, and I urge you to pass this to the floor in the Senate. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony and for all of your work on this as well. Any questions for Senator Mona Sanderson?
No, ma'am. Appears to me that A4 is the way forward at the appropriate time.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. We'll let you go to your other committee. Okay. We do have Sybil Hebb and Jessica Minifick from Legislative Council. So would you both like to come forward? Welcome to Senate Rules.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, Sybil Hebb with the Oregon Law Center, also speaking on behalf of the Oregon Alliance to End Violence Against Women today in support of Senate Bill 525 with the Dash 4 amendments. Senator Mona Sanderson laid it out perfectly in addition to committee administrator, so I really appreciate that information, and we're here to offer our support and also our great thanks to all of the parties who went so far to craft the Dash 4 amendment and to provide a way forward on this bill. I also want to specifically thank the our chief co-sponsors, and particularly Senator Mona Sanderson, for all of her good work, and Steve Elzinger and Anna Braun, as well as Jessica Minifick and LC. And I think the only thing that I would add is that from the Law Center's perspective, as you know, we work with low-income people across the state who are trying to escape poverty. And one of the biggest issues that confront our clients is domestic violence and the struggle to escape domestic violence with their lives and with their children and to establish safety is one of our highest priorities, and this bill will take an important step forward in implementing the federal law, putting it into place in Oregon so that our local law enforcement and our local district attorneys can implement that law and provide the protection that was intended behind the bill, or behind the federal law. So we really appreciate the great work that's gone into this, and we are strongly supportive. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. And go ahead, Jessica.
Thanks, Chair Rosenbaum. Jessica Minifick from Legislative Council. I don't have any statement prepared. I just wanted to be available for any questions that arose.
Great. Well, thank you for being here and for your work on this as well. Any questions?
Oh, I think Ms. Hebb and Council said it well.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you both for your support and work on this, and thank you again.
Thank you very much.
And that completes our sign-up list. Members, we are going to carry our work session over to our next hearing, which is Thursday. And so that completes the public hearing on this bill. I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 525. And March Shall we do...
Yep, we're fine. Should we do family food fight going on? Extended family.
So, we do that? Okay. Okay, next I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 331. And this has been quite a while since we took this up, so Erin, might you refresh our memories on this bill?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 331 directs Department of Corrections to determine last known address of inmates in custody of the department and submit information to Secretary of State, directs Secretary of State to adjust population data reported to federal biennial census to reflect resident status of inmates before incarceration, requires Legislative Assembly or the Secretary of State, whichever is applicable, to reapportion state into legislative districts based on adjusted population data, requires use of adjusted population data to apportion county or municipal boundaries. We originally heard this measure on March 10th. We now have before you today a -1 amendment. The -1 amendment requires Department of Corrections to determine last known address only if address is known or available to the inmate and only from inmates who are in custody after the effective date of this measure. It clarifies that adjusted population data is only to be used for redistricting purposes. We have a no revenue impact and a fiscal impact. A statement was issued explaining how the measure will impact the Secretary of State and Department of Corrections, but it looks like to be a minimal for both.
Okay, so it looks like we have a -1 amendment that is posted on OLIS, mm-hmm. and also a hand-engrossed version is posted on OLIS.
And Madam Chair, is there any invited testimony? If there's not...
There is not.
Madam Chair, are you ready?
Yeah, go
ahead. Madam Chair, I'd move the -1 amendment into Senate Bill 331, dated 5-1-15.
Okay, Senator Boquist has moved the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 331. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Motion carries. Senator Boquist.
Madam Chair, I move SB 331 as amended by the -1 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Senator Boquist has moved Senate Bill 331 to the floor as amended by the -1 with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion? Any objection to the motion?
Nope.
Seeing none, the motion carries. And as this is Senator Shields' bill and he's been working hard on it, we'll ask him to be our carrier, and I will then close the work session on Senate Bill 331. And I think we, do we want to stand at ease for just a moment, or keep going? Do you know?
We're keeping going, aren't we?
That's fine, then.
Am I missing something?
We thought maybe Senator Farrioli would want to be here for the other bill, but...
I'm not waiting 15 minutes for Senator Farrioli.
Okay. But you said
all right,
that.
Then.
Okay. Well, then we will go ahead
and open
a work session on Senate Bill 55. And Erin, remind us what this is.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 55 was originally heard on March 5th. It directs state agencies to request Social Security numbers of certain applicants for state services if application could result in debt owed to state agency of more than $100, requires notice to applicants regarding use of Social Security numbers for debt collection purposes, requires annual state agency report to Legislative Fiscal Office on liquidated and delinquent accounts, include total number and amounts of accounts for which no payment has been received for more than 90 days, and that they have not been assigned to private collection agency or Department of Revenue for collection, allow state agency or private collection agencies to propose and accept offers of compromise for settlement of debt owed to state agency, allows Department of Revenue to offset refunds due to debtor against delinquent accounts, directs Department of Administrative Services to provide training and technical assistance to state agencies on managing accounts receivable and collecting liquidated and delinquent assets, and accounts, directs Department of Administrative Services to adopt rules governing collection of liquidated and delinquent accounts. You have a -6 amendment before you today. The -6 amendment, subject to rules adopted by Department Administration, requires state agency that request person to voluntarily supply Social Security number on any document relating to any monetary obligation or transaction must include on document notice of disclosing that Social Security number may be used for state agency debt collection activities, permits Department of Administrative Services to adopt rules specifying form of notice and setting procedures for sharing of Social Security numbers, defines state agency, specifies exemptions from definition of state agency, permits state agency, Department of Revenue, or private collection agency assigned delinquent account under to use Social Security number to collect any debt owed to state agency or local government, permits compromise for settlement of a debt owed to a state agency, requires state agency adopt criteria for determining when offers of compromise may be made. Criteria must be approved by DAS and Attorney General or by the Chief Justice in the case of all state courts and all commissions, departments, and divisions in the judicial branch of state government. Requires the annual state agency report to legislative fiscal office on liquidated and delinquent accounts statement indicating whether agency has liquidated and delinquent accounts that are not exempt or otherwise prohibited or exempted by law from assignment, from which no payment has been made or received for 90 days. Creates collection unit in Department of Revenue, subject to rules prescribed by Department of Administrative Services for collection of delinquent accounts owing to state agencies or to counties. Department of Revenue shall provide assistance in collection of any delinquent account owing to any state agency or to a county. Specifies role of Department of Revenue in collection of debts. Directs DAS to provide training and technical assistance to state agencies on managing accounts receivable and collecting liquidated and delinquent accounts. Directs DAS to adopt rules governing collection of liquidated and delinquent accounts, directs state agencies to impose fee for collection of liquidated and delinquent accounts, dedicates fee to delinquent accounts administration fund established in state treasury for payment of expenses of DAS and providing training and technical assistance. This measure has been reviewed by, with the DAS 6 amendment, by Legislative Fiscal Office and by Legislative Revenue Office. It will have an impact, a fiscal impact, and does need to be referred to Ways and Means, provided we take the DAS 6 amendment today. I believe that there are individuals in the room if there are questions regarding the amendment.
Okay, thanks, Erin, for reminding us of what this is and going over the amendment in detail. Members, did you have questions that we need someone else to answer, or are we ready to?
Not unless you have invited testimony.
We do not.
Madam Chair, I move the A6th Amendment dated 5-12-50 into SB 55.
Okay, Senator Boquist has moved the A6th Amendment to Senate Bill 55. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Okay, amendment is adopted. Senator
Madam Chair,
Boquist.
I move SB 55-6, or as amended with the dash 6, to the floor with a due pass with a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means.
Okay, Senator Boquist has moved Senate Bill 55 with a due pass as amended recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Okay, the motion carries. The bill will move to Ways and Means with its amendment. We'll send it on its merry way. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 55. And Senator Burdick, before you got here, we did vote on Representative Leininger's bill, and you weren't able to cast a vote. Would you like us to reopen that hearing so that you can?
I would appreciate that.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move to suspend the rules, allow Senator Burdick to vote on the reflected bill.
Okay, any objection to suspending the rules to allow Senator Burdick to vote? Okay, rules are suspended. Senator Burdick, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
She votes aye. And so I'll reclose that work session.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And members, that completes our work for today. Just a reminder, we do have executive appointments and we have one bill that we'll be taking up on Thursday. So it would be much appreciated if you could be on time on Thursday because we have a lot to do then. With nothing further to come before us today, members, we're a lot to do then. With nothing further.